LaJune Henry texted me last week and said it's been 8 years. I think 8 years since Vance passed away. How long has Grandpa been gone? 6, 7 years? So Vance died before him. So, yeah, 8 years. And she says, I still miss him. And said I wouldn't trade anything for, you know, where he's at. And I texted her back. I said, LaJune, I said, I love him. I miss him on that stoop watching the church. And I said, it won't be long till we're all changed. Church's not going to be long till we're all changed. We may think, you know, well, it could be 10 years. It could be 50 years. It's not long, regardless of what it is. We're all going to be changed if we're in Christ. And so all of us are going to be changed, be healed, and be made whole. And I'm thankful for that promise that we have in the Lord. And I wouldn't trade that for silver or gold. I wouldn't trade all the money in the world to lose my salvation, lose my soul, and what Christ did for me. Turn to 1 Samuel. We'll get into the Word tonight. And we'll get you out here on time. 1 Samuel 29. I want to recap where we left off with David last week. Remember, David was Saul had consulted a medium, black magic, to try to get a word and a message about the future. And so he conjured up old Samuel's bones, and God used a dead prophet to still speak his word into Saul's life and remind Saul, yes, that your kingdom is over, and you're going to pretty soon be dead like me. So it wasn't a very good prognosis for Saul. So we left that last week. Now, if you remember, if I will recap a little bit more from last week, David had been lying to the king in Philistia, saying, I've been fighting your enemies, but he wasn't. He was fighting Israel's enemies. Well, now he got caught because the king says, we're going to go fight Israel. David had a choice to make. Do I fight Israel or do I follow the king? He's trapped. What is he going to do? We find out tonight what happens, what God did to help David, what God did. Lord, you want to bring him up here? Let's pray for him. Come on up here, Peyton. Let's pray for you. We never know where grief and sadness sometimes when it comes out. And Peyton is broken tonight. We want to pray for his little spirit that God will just give him comfort and healing. Father, we pray for Peyton right now that he feels your love, that he feels the Father's love, that he feels the Most High love, that Peyton knows that he's not alone. But God, I pray you fill this void and this sadness and this emptiness in his heart, that you remind him that he is yours and he belongs to you, Lord, and you're going to take care of him. You're going to hold him. You're going to watch him. You're going to protect him. You're going to strengthen him, and you're going to keep him. Just let this broken heart be mended by your hand, Lord. Let this broken spirit be made whole by your hand of mercy. Just love him, Lord, and hold him, and let him know that he is not walking this journey alone, that you have plans for his future, that you have a destiny awaiting on him, that his steps are ordered by the Lord, and that, God, he has something to walk into that he's not aware of yet, but you already have it prepared and planned for him, that he has a future. He has a hope in you, Lord. Let him know that and remind him of that, that tomorrow will be better and the next tomorrow will be better because you're going to walk in each tomorrow with him. Bless this little soul, Lord, and help this little heart. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're picking up in 29 and see what happens. Verse 1. The Philistines gathered together all of their armies to Aphek, and the Israelites pitched by a fountain which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed on by the hundreds and by the thousands, but David and his men passed on in the rearward. They were in the back with Achish. Then said the princes of the Philistines, what do these Hebrews doing here? Why are they here? And Achish said to the princes and the Philistines, "Is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which hath been with me these days or these years, that I have found no fault in him since he fell unto me this day?" Now, just to recap again, if you weren't here or forgotten, remember, David was running from Saul all this time. So David took it upon himself to say, "Gee, if I go, I'll go join myself the Philistines, which are my enemies, and I'll hide there." So David has went and hidden in a foreign pagan nation, his enemies trying to outrun Saul. He took matter to his own hands. He shouldn't have even been there, but he was. Verse 4, "The prince of the Philistines were mad with him, and the prince of the Philistines said to him, 'Make this fellow return, that he may go again to this place which thou hast appointed him, and let him not go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he's an adversary to us, for wherewith we should reconcile himself to his master.'" They were worried, the generals were worried David would turn on them. "We don't want David helping us fight. We know who he is. He's an Israelite. Why is he helping us fight? We want him gone." Now remember, David had already been charged to fight the Israelites. He didn't want to, but didn't know how to tell the king he couldn't. God's making a way here, because God always shows up. "Is not this David of whom they sang one to another in dances, saying, 'Saul slew his thousands and David his 10,000s. That's the same David, right? Then Achish called David and said to him, the king did, "Surely, as the Lord liveth, thou hast been upright in your going out and your coming in with me, and the host is good in my sight. For I have not found evil in you since the day of your coming unto me until this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's favor thee not." The generals don't want you here. "Wherefore now return and go in peace, that thou displease not the Lord of the Philistines." Think how God had made a way. I want you to capture this. Last week we talked about the king says, "I want you to go fight Israel." And David's like, okay. He didn't know what to do. How can I go fight God's people? I'm their leader. He's got himself trapped. What is he going to do? God's making a way of escape. The Philistine generals didn't like him. The king went to him and says, "You got to go. You can't go fight with us." God had made a way because God showed up. I want to apply this today of how we live, because I know we maybe read these stories and we think, you know, well, blah, 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 blah. It has such applicable substance for us right now. In our life, there are situations we get pinned into, we see no way out, either by our own choosing or by the devil's trap. But we get into a place where we are surrounded and we don't know which way to go. And we're boxed in and we see no hope. We see no route out. We see no way of escape. We see no victory. David was trapped. But God stepped in, and the very alien enemy country he was being protected in from Saul was now using them to protect him from having to fight his own people. God has set David free from having to fight his people. That's what God does. If we would just trust God, lean on God and say, "God, I don't know the way out. I can't figure a way out." We just wait. I mean, sometimes we're all over the map with our lives. And it's important that we wait on God. And if we're confused, we don't move. If we're uncertain, we don't move. We can't go by our emotional state because we make poor decisions. But if we'll wait on God, and the waiting part is hard. If you notice our sign at the church road right now for this month, you know, it's talking about, you know, I'm paraphrasing, because I never remember how exactly quoted, but I'm paraphrasing that, you know, it's amazing what God is doing in your time of waiting. In our time of waiting, when we think that nothing is happening, God is happening. And sometimes it's not meant for us to be at that place at that time. So the time has to elapse so it becomes time for us to be in that place at that time. I've seen that in my own life with seasons of people and seasons of my own life of how God opened doors and how God did things, that I was at the right place at the right time because God ordained it. You know, when I first went to Walmart and I was doing my training, I was in Statesville doing my management training, and they would send the managers usually out pretty far. They would, like, me and one guy, we both lived in Statesville, we both were training at the same time. He got there about a month before I did. And he graduated out of the little program, and they sent him to Silva, North Carolina. Anybody heard of Silva, North Carolina? Little tiny town in the mountains. There's nothing there. Well, me started getting scared. Because I ain't want to get to know Silva or no, you know, Silva place. I'm going to stay close to home. I ain't wanting to move. I mean, my mom would have a complete breakdown. I'm like, I've got to stay somewhere close. And so I began to pray about it. Well, they're building a new store in Mooresville. I'm a brand new 28-year-old. And I'm training, and Mooresville's opening up, and I talked to my DM. My store was different than DM in Mooresville. I talked to my DM, and I said, Mooresville's opening up. Can I apply there? And I remember he looked at me, and he says, you can go talk to the DM, but I doubt he won't even talk to you. You won't, you know, you don't get that store. It's going to be a high-volume, brand-new, high-volume store. You're green. He won't even talk to you. I said, but it's okay. I got permission to go try to talk to him. Oh, yeah, if you can get a hold of him, he'll talk to you. Yeah, this is Curtis. Well, Dave was the one talking to me, David Cruz. And so I call Curtis's office, set up an appointment. And I go in. I'm so nervous. Oh, I'm so nervous. And I'm back in his office, and he's talking to me and stuff. And a few days later, I get a phone call. I'm going to Mooresville. God had that ordained because I prayed about it, and I put it in God's hands. I shouldn't have had that store because it was and still is, when I was there, and I think it still is, the highest volume Walmart in North Carolina. And here I am at 28 years old, coming out of a food line, doing, you know, a couple million a year or whatever, a few million a year, to a store that's, you know, doing all this volume, you know, 130 million a year, the last year I was there. And not only that, but I got to personally hire and staff the whole food side of the Walmart. So I'm hiring all these employees, I'm interviewing them, I'm hiring them, I'm staffing them. I didn't think at that time during that process that God was going to birth this. You know how sitcoms spin off each other? You know, Gomer Pyle played Andy Griffith. Then he spun off to his own show. And you see shows like that. Cheers, yes. It's amazing how, as at Walmart, the church began to kind of spin out of that. How it began to spin out. I never forget going by the fabric department and Von Seal's back there working. And she says, you're having a service? You know, he talks to that Boston. You're having a service? Let me know when you're going to have a service. I want to be there. Here's this little old woman back here in fabric. I didn't hardly even know, asking me when I'm going to be preaching. I'm like, okay, I'll let you know. Didn't even hardly know her at the time. Just as an employee, I didn't really know her good. So I started passing out flyers at Walmart, you know, my service. You know, I'm going to have a service Saturday night. Da, 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 and that little old fabric woman, Von Seal, she showed up. And that was good, James. When you having another one? So we had another one, and it just kind of spun off. All of that to say this, that God was positioning that and ordaining that to be beyond the scope of my abilities or beyond my outreach or beyond my even thoughts. God was doing something better, greater, and bigger. David's life, God's doing something bigger in David's life than even he realizes. David had gotten himself in a mess, and God had gotten him out of it. Aren't you glad God gets us out of our messes? God makes a way when we deserve so much punishment. God steps in and shows us love and mercy and grace and forgiveness. And the most demonstrative of that is, of course, the cross, when he stepped at Calvary and said, you know what? I'm doing this for humanity. You know, paying the price for sin, paying the penalty, redeeming my people, I'm taking care of things. He stepped in. So David has been asked to leave now, Philistine. But David argues with him a little bit here in verse 7. Return now, go in peace, that thou didst please not the Lord of the Philistines. And David said to Achish, but what have I done? What hast thou found thy servant as long as I've been with you this day, that I may not go fight against the enemies of my lord the king? And Achish answered and said to David, I know thou art good in my sight as an angel of the God. Notwithstanding, the prince of the Philistines have said he shall not go with us to battle. Wherefore, rise up early in the morning with the master's servants that are come with thee. And as soon as you be up early in the morning and have light, you depart. So then David left, and he's out of the land. So David's escaped having to fight his own people. God got David out of his stupidity, and he got David out of his cowardice. Because remember, David fled. David took it into his own hands to say, I'll go and join the Philistines to escape the hand of Saul. And then he got himself trapped. Now God bailed him out. Now look at chapter 30. So David has left Philistine. He returned back home. It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites, who was the enemy of Israel, had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten it. They destroyed it and burned it with fire. They burnt the town down. They took the women captive, and they that were therein, they slew not any. They didn't kill them, but they took them captive, great and small, carried them away, and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burnt with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters were taken captive. I mean, think how what Dave must be thinking. I mean, here he is now. He comes back home. His town's burnt down. And his two wives, he had two wives at this point, they were taken captive too. So his family's been taken captive. So what does he do? Here's God again. You know, what is God going to show up? What's happening? David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. Now they were so mad at David, they blamed David for this happening because David wasn't there to protect him. You know why David wasn't there to protect him? Because he was in Philistine, where he didn't belong to begin with. So they blamed David. They were so mad at David, they wanted to stone him. This is their future king. They were ready to stone. But the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Another translation of this, and this is one of the key parts of this chapter tonight I want to focus on. Another translation is, he strengthened himself in the Lord. That's what we need to do, is strengthen ourselves in the Lord. And that requires being alone, shutting out all the noise, turning off all the stuff. It may mean you got to turn the cell phone off for 5 minutes. It may mean you can't be on Facebook for 10 minutes. It may mean you turn the television off for an hour. It means you get away from everything. It may mean you turn the Pittsburgh Steelers off on Monday night and pray to God. It may mean that. So whatever it takes to strengthen ourselves in the Lord, but guess what? We can't be strengthened unless we're with the Lord. And this is what David did. He was grieved. My city is burnt down. They're blaming me. And he knows they should blame me. I should have been here. But I was hiding. I was busy being a coward, doing it my way instead of letting God do it his way. I mean, God done protect him all that time from Saul. Saul would try to stab him. He escaped. He chased him. He escaped. Having a cave. Every time God protected him, what made David all of a sudden think, gee, I better do something myself? That's where we begin to go wrong. So his hometown's burnt down. His two wives have been taken captive as prisoners of war. The people are mad at him. They want to stone him. They're crying. They're weeping. They're grieving. What does David do? The first thing he does is what we all should do. He strengthened himself in the Lord. We have to go to God for answers. We have to go to God to find what the next step is. We have to learn to lean on God through those times that there's nobody else to lean on. Strengthening ourselves in God means that we become inside, our faith is elevated, our power is elevated, our peace is elevated, our joy is elevated, our hope is elevated. Everything increases. That's what God does. He increases us inside. I mean, man, there were times back in the, we call them the old days, and you know you're getting old when you start saying old days. Back in the old days, you know, man, we were so strong as Christians, and man, we could walk across them chairs if we wanted to. Take off and walk across the chair. We'd walk across coals of fire for Jesus. We'd pick up a rattlesnake and dare it to bite us. I mean, man, we were strong. We prayed at the altar, and we slapped so much oil on until we slipped around like a wet pig. I mean, man, we believed, and we cried out to God, and we prayed, and we fasted, and we called out his name, and we were on fire, and we walked out the doors. We believed we had had an encounter with God and that he could do anything, but we let the voices of others tell us what he can't do. We let someone else tell us what he can't do instead of letting the word of God tell us what he can do. We let other people tell us, well, God don't move that way, and God don't get your hopes up for that. And well, you know, you gotta be real. What's more real than believing God? What's more real than trusting God at his word? And if we don't trust his word, we have nothing to rely on. And we can't take part of it out to appease our faith or our lifestyle. We can't take part of it out and say, well, this don't really apply today, but we're applying stuff from 6,000 years ago. I mean, if we're going to say the book of Acts and the miracles and the healings and the signs and the wonders and all of that has just stopped because the Bible has been written, God's not stopped. And people's not stopped needing God. People's not stopped needing miracles. People's not stopped needing a sign or a wonder. We still need that, and we still desire that. And God can still deliver that. God had rescued David time after time. And here he is. What do I do? I'm going to strengthen myself in God and get myself together. That's the first step. It's the first step that we do. You know, the devil fights us from being in church. Can I share what you said, Teresa, when you first came in? The devil fights us so much. Teresa walked the door tonight. She's the first one here. She walked in, and she says, I was trying to think of a million reasons why I shouldn't come to church tonight, and I couldn't think of one. See, the devil fights that. Had someone text me earlier today, says, please pray for me. I need you to pray for me. I got something going on. God knows. And I said, well, I will, but I was hoping to see you tonight. They're not here. Where's the best place to get prayer? With God's people. In the church. I mean, we have a need. That's what we're here for. We're not lone wolves. We're a family. We're a body. And that's what we're for, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another. It was so beautiful in my office Sunday morning when we was praying for Brandon to see the people of the church gathered around Brandon in my office. People of faith laying hands on him and believing and praying with him. That's what the church is for. And the reason we did it back there is Sunday morning, Brandon didn't want it in front of the whole church. He didn't want it publicized. I said, well, we'll go back to my office. We'll do it, get a few people, and we'll do it private. So that's what the church is for. God's not changed. His word's not changed. We either believe his word or we don't believe his word. We can't believe part of it and not all of it. I mean, we gotta, and a lot of churches don't. I mean, they really, you'd be surprised, the progressive churches now that are coming up that do not really believe this is the authentic authority of God. I still believe that. I still believe what's in it's real, what's in it's true, and what's in it is God's written word. We know man wrote the Bible far as physically wrote the Bible, but I truly believe it was under the holy inspiration of God that wrote this word and wrote this. And these are true accounts that they have. A lot of it were eyewitness accounts of Paul walking the earth, seeing the crucified Christ, seeing the risen Christ, seeing the ascension. I mean, seeing these things, seeing the dove ascend as Christ was baptized, and seeing the lame man walk as Peter and John said, rise up, seeing the 10 lepers who went and showed themselves to the priest to be declared clean. The woman with the issue of blood, she was in the middle of hundreds of people that saw her crawling her way to Jesus and was healed. We see these stories. They're factual stories of God's word. We have to believe that, and we have to embrace that. Church, we have no hope we don't believe in this. We have nothing. People say, I believe in science. I believe in facts. I believe in science, too. God made science. I believe in facts. God made facts. There's a sun right there. I know that sun is 93 million miles away. That's a fact. God put it there. I know that. That moon is there. That's a fact. There's a moon there. There's Mars, there's Venus, there's Saturn, it has rings all around it. I believe that. But God put it there. There are stars that God put there. There are depths of oceans with mountains underneath them. God put them there. Volcanic mountains under oceans. God put them there. There's nothing that was created that wasn't created by God. Nothing. So let's trust him again. David got off course a little bit. He tried to get matter into his own hands, trying to figure out a better plan. And he got himself trapped. And now that he has been sent back home, he got out of that trap, now he's in another trap. The city's burned down, his two wives have been taken captive, people are grieving, and they're mourning, and they're wanting to kill him. What a homecoming that must be. So what does he do? After he strengthens himself. David said to Abiathar, the priest, Amalekiah's son, I pray you bring me the ephod. And he brought it to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, now here's David again, pursuing the will of God. Shall I pursue after these Amalekites? Shall I overtake them? He asked him two questions. Lord, you want me to go after them? And will I destroy them? And he answered, God answered and said, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. If we could seek the will of God, we'll hear the will of God. God still speaks. People say all the time, God, if God would just speak to me, I don't hear God speak. God is always speaking. We can hear God. We can still really hear God. We may not can hear him sitting at a Starbucks table with a cappuccino like we want to hear him with his, you know, robe and long hair. Hey, man, here's what you got to do. If we're looking for that kind of moment, then, you know, I mean, that could happen, but probably not most time when you're sober. But we hear God. We hear God all the time. He speaks to us with that voice, those thoughts and the words that even come out of your mouth sometimes. I've had words come out of my mouth. I knew it was God speaking. I'd be walking in a store, walking down the street, and something come out of my mouth. And I know it's God speaking words I can hear. God does speak. David did a great thing by saying, Lord, do I go after the ones that destroy my city? So he didn't just take off hot-headed. He asked, do you want me to go after them? And will I be able to overtake them? And God answered, yes, go after them, and yes, you'll have the victory. So he sought the will of God. And you will recover all. I love that part. Verse 9, David went, and the 600 men that were with him came to the brook where they were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, 200 stayed back and watched supplies. And they must have been on a very aggressive hunt because they were tired. 200 stayed back, watched supplies, 400 went with David. And they were so faint they could not go over the brook. And they found an Egyptian in the field, brought him to David, gave him bread, he did eat, and then made him drink water. They gave him a piece of cake, of figs, 2 clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had not eaten no bread nor drunk any water for 3 days and 3 nights. And David said to him, the Egyptian, who belongest thou to? And where are you from? He said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant of an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Chethrites, and upon the coast which belongs to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said, can you bring me to this company? Can you bring me the boys that did this, the men that did it? He said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring you to the company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread above all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that had been taken out of the land of the Philistines, out of the land of Judea. I want to say this. Just because it's been stolen now don't mean it stays gone. Just because you may have been robbed now don't mean you'll always be robbed. Just because it's missing right now don't mean it's going to remain at large. What the devil has stolen and what you have lost, God is able to recover it all. God is able to restore it, replenish it, and bring it back. And then some. Just like Job, who lost it all and was blessed double fold in the end. God can still do it. So they were celebrating, dancing. We took all these animals, all this money, all these people, all the spoils. We've done great. Verse 17, David smote them, killed them, destroyed them from the twilight to the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his 2 wives. I wonder which one he rescued first. Just one. I'll be right with you, darling. Hang on. Okay, I'll come back for you. He recovered all of it. He got back everything. They came in, burnt a city, took it away. Sometimes the devil comes into our lives. He robs us. He kicks us while we're down. And we lay there barren, thinking that we've lost it all, whenever the all is still there and God can bring it right back. Just because it's lost temporarily doesn't mean it's lost forever. Courtney gave a beautiful story of her life. And aren't you glad your life wasn't lost forever? You had a temporary hell to go through. You had a temporary setback. But God didn't leave you in that state. God doesn't leave us in that broken, barren state forever. There are seasons of brokenness. There are times of despair. There are seasons we go through of ups and downs and mountains and valleys, joys and sorrows. But God brings us through them. He doesn't leave us lying in the gutter. David recovered all, plus rescued his 2 wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything they had taken of them. David recovered all. Third time it says that. He recovered all. You know what Jesus did at Calvary? He recovered all. He recovered all the lostness, all the sickness, all the darkness, all the despair. He recovered it all. One appointment, one cross, one day, one destiny, one sacrifice, recovered it all. Paid the debt for it all, forever and ever and ever and ever. That's what Christ did. The devil had us, and God recovered all. The devil tried to destroy us, but God recovered it all. And even those that we love that don't make it here are still fully recovered. They recovered all because of the hope we have in Christ. So David got it all back. And then verse 20, the last one. David took all the flocks and the herds which they drove before those other cattle and said, "This is David's spoil." They gathered stuff, presented David, "This is yours." Man, David didn't always do what was right, but God kept blessing him. I think God is trying to teach us something and show us something through David's life, that we don't have to be perfect to be blessed. We don't have to be perfect to be loved. We don't have to be perfect to be saved. We don't have to be perfect to be used. We don't have to be perfect to be his child. David didn't always follow the right protocol. But yet here he is. God got him out of the mess he was in, having to fight his own people, rescued him. He got his two wives back, got all the spoils back, and I guarantee you they didn't want to stone him no more because they brought him reward. They went from saying, kill him, here's your goat, because he helped them. God showed up. And that's my title, right? Isn't that my title? God showed up. God always shows up. God always shows up. He may not show up in the method we think he should. He may appear in a way we never saw coming. But God will show up. He can show up in supernatural ways. He can show up in ways just out of left field. But God's going to show up and take care of us. Take care of you. You know, Marjorie applied for a lot of jobs after Lowe's. And the job she's at, if I'm saying it right, is the first job you interviewed for. Is that right? So of all the jobs that Margie interviewed for, she had several she interviewed for. The one that caught her was the first one she interviewed for. 7 weeks later. Now, think about that. You interview for, if you heard something in 7 weeks, you're like, you know, yeah, I guess I didn't get that. I mean, you know, you go apply for a job. You know, hey, yeah, da-da-da-da-da. Don't call us, we'll call you. 1 week goes by, nothing. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, you know, whatever. She kept applying. It took 7 weeks to get the answer. When you're an employee, 7 weeks is a long time. Courtney, you're about to learn that. She's on her second day of work. She got a job. Ain't that great? She's employed again. After all these years of being a mommy at home, she went back to work. So 7 weeks is a long time when you're, you know, got responsibilities and you're looking for a job. That didn't happen for Margie the first day. 7 weeks later, oh, you got it. Sometimes things just take time. It's like you put a good rump roast in a crock pot. Well, just how we do it in the South. Big rump roast, put in a crock pot, put some onions and carrots, chopping it, put it on high. I cook mine for like 7 or 8 hours. I want it falling off the fork. I don't want it a bit tough. I want it falling off the fork. I mean, I don't want that cow still saying moo. I want it saying bah, it's so soft. I mean, I want it off the fork. So I put that roast in. It takes time. I smell it. Whole house smells of roast. Onions, carrots, smells so good. I'll go stick that fork in. Ah, still moves. I can't, ain't done. Put the lid back on. Wait 2 more hours. Go. Ah, still tough. 2 more hours. And finally, I couldn't. Oh, it's all that time I want to eat it way earlier, but I know it's not ready, so I got to wait. Don't like waiting, but boy, it's worth the wait when it's right. It's worth it. It's like waiting on that Village Inn pizza, man. You got to wait maybe 10 minutes when you do that, but boy, it's worth that 10-minute wait to get that Village Inn pizza. Years from now, that will be incredible. Yeah, we've got to give God praise for the things in our life. Give him thanks. We truly are blessed. We are so blessed. Anybody else got anything tonight before we close? Just know God's going to show up. He did for David. Yep. That's right. He's the same. We see that in the Bible. We've talked about that. I mean, how he blessed Abraham, and then thousands of years later, he blessed Moses. A thousand years later, he blessed David, you know, and then a thousand years later, he blessed disciples and apostles. We see his power going through a span of time, never changing. Still God. Hey, thank goodness. Peyton, you doing better, buddy? All right, good. You look more like yourself. You look more rambunctious now. All right, we will be here Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. Unless the Lord comes back, or what's the old saying? If the, well, not that. I ain't heard that. Yeah, if the creek don't rise, it. Yeah. If the Lord don't come, the creek don't rise. Yeah, that's what I was looking for. We will be here. We should have power in our new building next week. Everything Saturday by Saturday. Everything is supposed to be done by Saturday. And they'll have a final inspection Monday to come in. Hope all inspections should pass, hopefully. And we'll be ready to rock and roll. So next week, the grading, I know you can't see from this angle, all of our grading got done today. All the grading got done. They strawed it, seeded it, filled in all the gaps. All the ruts got patted down, all that smoothed out. They brought in a little bit more dirt and fill behind the church to make it level for our new playground we're going to do. So all that got handled today. All of our bathroom fixtures came today. The sinks, the toilets, all that, that's here. The partitions are here. Part of them got hung up today in the bathrooms. So we, hopefully by next week, we'll be able to have lights on, air running, and we're real close to be able to use it. So we're excited about that. It's going to open up a lot of doors for us. I've got some ideas of different things of ministry I want to do when we get this building opened up. So we're going to do some things.